What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
You were in the market for a free agent. Who would you want to go get in that group?
Nadri.
Are you getting a cut? I think he's getting a cut.
Man, this free promo is crazy.
Welcome into What's Burning. I'm fresh off a plane from Denver.
Man.
Bright and chipper and cheery
for
after
real.
45 minutes of sleep. But the Nuggets are NBA champions. Matt Barnes, Boogie Cousins, welcome in. Look. Is this what you expected? Is this going into this finals? I think you both picked the Nuggets. So what'd you think?
First of all, let's just talk about your night. So Nate hit me last night, asked if I'm coming in. I'm like, yeah, I'm coming in. Who am I working with? Because I just saw Rachel getting champagne nearly poured on her. Like, she's in Denver in the locker room. Right? Yeah, in Denver in the locker room. Like, he's like, no, she's catching an early flight. So what was your, give us your last 24 hours.
All right. So flew out to Denver, you know, there for the game and kind of, you know, we expected. Okay, we're there because we think the championship could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Miami jumps out to that sizable lead at the start of the game. And you're thinking, oh, okay, now I got to make plans for Thursday. What's happening? This is what happens. Everybody in the media section.
Do you pack for what? You have to pack for Denver and
I was going to come home in between either way. But
gotcha.
Some trips you do, right? So it just kind of depends. Mm-hmm. But yeah, everyone in the media section is partly concerned about the game and partly concerned about how it will affect their plans to go home or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then as Denver kind of makes the comeback and it just Miami to me, I don't know what you guys thought. It just thought at some point you run out of legs, right? Like just Jimmy Butler looked like he couldn't elevate like the team. Bam couldn't do everything. And it felt like Denver was settling in. And then those last 2 minutes were absolutely bedlam. And the arena was going mm-hmm. crazy. It was so much fun. And then post game, once they're awarding the trophy, it takes a really long time. All the stuff is happening. And they've never won a title in Denver before.
That's
for the
first.
Nuggets. Obviously,
yeah.
They've won a bunch of other stuff. So the streets were bananas.
I saw.
People were like, you know, honking everywhere, traffic everywhere, out in the streets, screaming,
I saw Aaron
drinking.
Gordon out in the streets with the, with his people.
Aaron left the arena in a very good place.
That's good.
Is that?
That's
with a bottle of champagne
there
about
you go.
This.
As he should.
Big. So, yeah. And then, you know, they were letting off a lot of fireworks. And then I wake up this morning and hear that one of those fireworks was sadly a shooting. So, I, you know, it's rough when that happens. But, yeah, I was 4:30 in the morning in a car on the way to the airport so I could come be and hang out with you good people.
Dedication.
Nice. Boom.
That's serious. Boom. Okay, now back to the game, as you were saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I just thought, obviously, Miami had a hell of a run. Historical run, in my opinion. I mean, you didn't finish with the championship, but where they came from to what they did. And I say they had the most heart and just everything you need to win. Denver just had more talent at the end of the day. Like I said, I think Miami got as far as they could possibly get. Jimmy was great the entire time, struggled the entire game until the last 2 minutes and made it interesting in only the way he can do it.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, you know, Jokic was incredible. Murray, fairly consistent. The others that stepped up, Aaron Gordon was huge. Porter Jr. played well in a few games. So I just think Denver overall had more talent and got the job done. But man, hats off to Mike Malone and those guys. First championship. I saw something that said Stan Kroenke's the first owner that had four American sports titles in the last
in
2 years. That's nuts. He's making money.
One
man.
Of them is professional lacrosse. I have to make that point, but still.
Hey, that's still you're winning.
Impressive.
And making money, man. But yeah, shout out to Denver, man, and congratulations for sure.
Boog, what'd you think of the way the finals went overall?
I mean, I think we can all say nobody expected this to be, you know, the finals this year. Miami was, you know, a super big dark horse and, you know, on the verge of not even making the playoffs. They going, like Matt said, a historic run. In the West, obviously, Denver wasn't the favorite to come out, especially with the big trade happening with KD earlier in the season. So just a lot of things didn't really go as expected. Boston was expected to come out of the East. Or the Bucks, or, you know, a team of that nature. And, you know, it's nothing when it's planned. But I will say I felt like this was the finals that, you know, us as basketball fans and just fans of the game in general had needed to see. And with that being said, it's a different look. It's something we haven't seen. We saw where a big man is now dominating the game again. I mean, I would say for the past decade, it's been dominated by most of the guards. So, I believe it's, the NBA is now on the verge of making another shift in this playing style because we all know the NBA is a trendy league. You know, once Golden State went on their run, the entire league went small.
Yep.
Hey, one thing that stood out to me about this finals matchup is Denver's just a big-ass team in general.
Man, right?
You got a 7-foot center playing the point. You got a power forward that's 6'10 spreading the floor. You got another small forward, power forward at 6'10 spreading the floor and athletic. You got a championship guard in KCP and the, you know, the icing on the cherry on top, Jamal Murray as your big shot maker. So it's the perfect combination, and it's now a time where the league has to adjust again. So I think the league has to start going big again, and, you know, we have to see what happens just to match up with this different team because they're locked in. But a few years down the line, and this is a team that the league is going to have to continue to see.
Boogie, I love that take, but is it a new age big? I don't think it's a back to the basket bang big. Is it like your style big, Jokic style, Embiid style, just bigs that can do everything? Or do you feel like guys are going to be effective just dropping it down again and going to work?
I think it's both. I mean, he's a new style big, but let's be honest, he's doing – on the offensive end, he does most of his damage in the post. And I think that plays into the fact that teams are guarding a 7-foot offensive, a three-level scoring offensive big at 7-foot with a small forward or a power forward, or today's power forward. It's just the matchups don't make sense. So, I mean, the last time we saw Jokic actually be held to, you know, decent or average numbers is the championship Lakers team, and they had Dwight Howard. A traditional big. So I think you got to put all that into, you know, into play when it comes to how do we defend this, you know, championship thing.
Because they're going to have a nice little run.
Well, yeah. Ooh, and look, it's a nice run about, on the way. Yeah, what you're talking about with the bigs, the three finalists for MVP this year, all big men, mm-hmm. right? And who's the highest rated prospect in years and years mm-hmm. about Victor. To come into the league, mm-hmm. Victor, another big, and who does play in a different style, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's taking the ball up the floor and, you know, ducking and weaving and the whole nine. It,
yeah.
So I think we're going to see that shift absolutely coming.
Good call.
For
I
sure.
like that, Book.
Absolutely. There was a bunch of times last night where Denver was having trouble hitting the three where I was screaming, like, why don't we just go to the basket? And by the way, on both sides, with the Heat too, there was a period on some of these games where the Heat were struggling to get their shots to fall. And I'm like, just go to the basket. Three is more than two, but two is more than zero. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jokic goes down there like a freight train and it can get the team out of that slump and going again. So I do think I think we're going to see more and more of that for sure. And look, Jokic, well-deserved finals MVP. Absolutely. These were his numbers, guys. 30.2 points per game, 14 rebounds a game, 7.2 assists per game, steal and a half per game. He's only 28 years old.
Cheat I mean, code.
Bonkers. He also showed, again, why he's a different kind of superstar. Did you guys see the clip of them asking him about the parade?
He wanted to go home, right?
Right. Did yeah. you see this, Boogie? They were like, oh, are you excited to be in your first parade? And he got very agitated and looked to the PR guy and was like, wait, when's the parade? And they go, probably Thursday. And he goes, man, I got to get home.
Yeah, no, like, I feel it. That's funny. Yeah, shaking the champagne. He looked kind of uncomfortable doing that. But I think, Rachel, there are so many amazing storylines from a standpoint of, obviously, Jokic getting over that hump, two-time MVP. Again, we got a chance to, you know, interview his agent and kind of tell yeah. us how he was found in the newspaper, which is crazy. Now you look at him and he's, you know, a two-time MVP, finals MVP, and a champion. Jamal Murray, you know, thinking he was damaged goods, mm-hmm. You know, trying to live down bubble Jamal, and he was able to win a championship. Aaron Gordon out of nowhere. I mean, he played incredible
but
in the finals.
But that was about accepting a different role.
Yes.
Than he had previously.
He was a 20-point a game scorer over in Orlando, and he sacrificed. But to me, that's one of the dopest ones, because I started playing with Aaron Gordon when he had just turned 15 years old. He used to come to San Francisco and play in the Keysar Summer League. And I was throwing this little 15-year-old kid lobs. I'm like, yo, this kid's going to be a fucking monster. And I got a chance to meet his family and everybody, and then to see him grow through high school, go to college for a year, and then, you know, do what he did in Orlando, and then like you said, you know, accept a role of, you know, being a star in his role on a championship caliber team. So that was dope. Michael Porter Jr., all the back trouble he's had, and then guys like my brother DeAndre Jordan, you know, mm-hmm. the first one out of the Lob City trio to get a ring, maybe the only one. You know, I'm holding out for Blake and Chris. You know, Jeff Green, a former teammate of mine, who I think we'll talk about later, you know, had a long career, battled with
former teammate of everyone,
almost died. Yeah. You know what I mean? Had the heart condition and bounced back from that. So it's just a bunch of different guys. Ish Smith mm-hmm. has played on as many teams as years. So, yep. I mean, I was just really happy. Like Boogie said, it wasn't the team we expected to be there, either team. But when you look at it and the way they play, the way they handle the business, and then the character of guys on the team, along with Mike Malone, great mm-hmm. guy, you know, I couldn't be happier for Denver.
Yeah, I was talking to Michael Porter Jr. after the game, and he was bringing up those surgeries. He just said, he's like, yeah, he's like, three back surgeries.
That's serious. People don't come back from
before
that.
Before 24 years old, he's like, no one expected me to be mm-hmm. here. And Aaron Gordon, I will say that I've covered him off, you know, pretty, don't know him as well as 15 years old, my Lord, but covered him in Orlando and then through this. And I, frankly, not just at the finals, but I have not seen him happier than he has been in Denver.
Love
he had
it.
Like a weight lifted off of him, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool to see. I want to put you guys in the company that Nikola Jokic is in right now. So players with two MVPs and a finals MVP: Michael Jordan, Kareem, LeBron, Wilt, Magic, Bird, Moses, Giannis, Steph, Tim Duncan, and now Jokic. That's the list.
All greats. What is that, 15 people? I can't count that fast. I didn't, you know, I finished school, but I wasn't paying attention. How many is that, Nate?
11.
11. So only 12 people in the history of the game. That's incredible, man.
That's pretty insane. So how much better do you think he could get, Boogie?
Man.
Like, have we it's seen, is this who he's going to be?
It's the fact that he's only 28. It's the fact that this is, it's crazy, because if you really think about him as a person and his personality, it's like, he doesn't even really like basketball. So you sit here and ask the question, how much better could he get? Like, imagine if he actually liked or loved basketball. That's how much better he could get at this game. But, I mean, the dude is an incredible talent. I mean, he's shown it on a nightly basis. He's in an elite company, and now these conversations do start. I spoke on it early in the year. It's like when it came to the three MVPs, was he that caliber of a player yet? I felt like things were still up in the air. I felt like he still had things to prove. He shut me up. He proved everything literally about 4 to 5 months later. So he's now in elite company, and, you know, those conversations start. And
you also, you think about, I mean, as athletes, this is when we hit our prime as far as just our body, our strength, our, you know, I mean, all that kind of stuff. So his touch is going to continue to get better. His craftiness is going to continue to get better. I mean, he's clutch. I think he has a nice, and if they can keep this core together, this is a nice, and everyone, don't be a prisoner of the moment, but you just look at it, as Boogie said, as just basketball. When you look at this team, this is a really good basketball team that is kind of changing the dynamic of the game as we speak. So to me, this team has a nice 3 or 4 year run, you know, an opportunity to win a championship, I feel like, in the next 3 or 4 years, a couple of them, if possible. So it's going to be fun.
Well, if you look at the roster, they've got their top five guys locked in for the next two seasons at least. And I think this is a little bit of what was going on with LeBron after that last game the Lakers played. I'm going to say it again. I do not think LeBron is retiring. But I think after you get your ass swept by a team that you know is just going to keep being that same team for the next couple years, I think you look forward to what is ahead of you on that Lakers team. And you think, well, we clearly, I mean, they didn't even win a game off of them, right? So you think, okay, well, we clearly don't have enough to beat them. And what's going to be different next year, except the Lakers will have gotten older. So I get it, what that thought process was in the moment. Now, obviously, the summer happens and moves are going to get made and all of that stuff. But it's I get why it's demoralizing for the rest of the league.
It's the Joker's time. Quit playing. God damn it. It's the Joker's time.
I mean, what do you think, Boogie? Do you think that, I mean, that they're, do you think they're the team to beat now in the NBA?
Absolutely are. They're the champions. As of next season, when it starts, they'll be the defending champions. So they're absolutely the team you have to go through. And like I said earlier, the NBA is going to have to adjust now, because over the past 5, 6, 7 seasons, let's just say the decade that Golden State has dominated, every team has built their team to match up with Golden State. And most teams are set in this structure. So now teams are going to have to defunct, go back to the drawing board, and now have to build a plan to match up with this Denver team for the next, as of right now, 2 to 3 years. But who knows how it plays out contract-wise for these guys. Let's say they all get extended. Then this is something we got to match up with for the next couple of seasons. So I think it's going to send a shockwave through the league, obviously, and, you know, teams now have to start adjusting.
And I think, as Rachel mentioned, having your core five signed for the next 2 years, you're not out having to make desperate moves in the summer. They're going to get good pieces that are going to help them. They don't have to be crazy number expensive, but they're going to get good, solid pieces because they don't have to make any desperate moves. Their core is set. So now they're strategically picking out, like, hey, who are the two or three guys we can bring in? I think, obviously, the obvious sign is to re-sign Bruce Brown. I think he played well, but it'd be interesting,
sure,
because I was about to say it's going to be interesting because I think, obviously, they're going to throw the bag at him. So, you know, you got to find strategic pieces that can kind of come and fit in with our core. And, you know, I have a lot of confidence they're going to be able to do that. So, yeah, I definitely feel this run is a 2 or 3 year, 4 year run. Jokic has a nice 4 or 5 year run in him. So it's going to be his time for a minute.
Well, if Mr. Cousins is correct and teams around the league are going to have to restructure a little bit to face this, it sounds like someone's going to have to go out and get DeMarcus Cousins if they're smart.
They might.
That's what I have
to say.
Won't be
a bad play, I can tell you that.
What'd you think of your guy Mike Malone?
Super happy for him. I mean, like Matt said, there's so many storylines that play into this championship team. And Mike Malone is just one of the many. It's well documented. He's one of my favorite coaches I ever played for. He came into the game with me as a head coach. Mm-hmm. So we have our history. We have, you know, our connection or whatever. So just knowing how his story played out in Sacramento and you know, being able to move on to Denver and find, you know, a foundation and a home, and to be able to be on this run from the beginning to building this championship team. It's like a storybook ending. So, I mean, happy for him. Well-deserved. Hell of a coach. And this is just – he's also building his legacy as a coach. Along with Jokic building his, he's, you know, on the verge of building his as well. And, I mean, well-deserved. So, flowers to you, Coach Malone.
Yeah. One of my favorite things was before game one, both Mike Malone and Eric Spoelstra spoke, and they both made the point that there are years that other franchises would have fired either one of them, yeah. Right? Like mm-hmm. Coach Spo said, he's like, I would have been fired four or five times in another mm-hmm. franchise. This is a patient franchise, and Denver's the same way with Michael Malone. And I interviewed Stan Kroenke last night, and I asked him about it. I said, what made you stick with Michael Malone? What made you stick with Jamal Murray when some people would have been like, oh man, injury prone, or, you know, oh, this ACL, we got to figure something else out or something like that. He's just, I just believe if we're doing the right thing, we're doing the right thing. And you just wish maybe more owners in sports yeah. will, this will rub off on them instead mm-hmm. of panicking every 5 seconds when not every team can win a championship. Yeah. So
I just think it's a chain reaction with the media now. We live in such a what have you done for me lately society. You know, you look at Monty Williams, his winning percentage in right. Phoenix, and you just fire Monty Williams. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Like, and then he goes and breaks the bank for head coaches. Yeah. So I agree. I mean, there's something to be had. You look at Golden State's run, how mm-hmm. they kept their pieces together, kept their coach together, yep. you know, did and refined until, and that's why they were able to sustain and have a run. I just don't know if it's that kind of game anymore unless you build foundationally. You know, you look at Oklahoma City, they're building foundationally. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see who continues to run them. But, you know, there's a handful of teams that are doing it the old school way.
Yeah.
And the old school way is the way you not to just sneak in and get one. The old school way is to have a sustainable run.
Yep.
So like Golden State did.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about what some other teams should do, right? So I want y'all to play GM for me for a minute here. First up, the Celtics. Big choice ahead of them. Do they extend Jaylen Brown? It's almost $300 million contract that they're talking about, which means they're also in line to extend Jason Tatum next summer, also for a nearly $300 million contract. So the Jaylen Brown decision, because Tatum seems pretty automatic, the Jaylen Brown decision is, are you going to lock up $600 million over the next 5 years into players? And remember, Grant Williams is a free agent also, sort of the factor there. So I don't know. What would you do, Boogie, if you were Boston?
I'm paying the money. Yeah. I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it. You have two all-NBA guys locked in together for 5-6 years. Like, it only makes sense. They're young. You can find another Grant Williams. I'm sorry. I think Grant Williams is a hell of a player, but You can find another guy to play a Grant Williams role. You keep those two guys together and you build that foundation. The same thing you were speaking about, you know, earlier.
Yeah.
Start the foundation with these two guys and build it. I think they're the correct pieces. So I don't think you can go on the market and find something better.
Yeah.
So. I agree. I'm signing both of them, and we just spoke to this is about building, and again, this will be what, year 5 or 6 for them together coming up?
They're what, 24 and 23? Is that right?
And they're still so young.
Sorry, 26 and 25.
They're babies. Hell yeah, you locked these dudes up. My question is, and I love what Marcus Smart brings for that team, but is he the wild card that you dangle out there to possibly see what you can get to kind of mix up that flow? Obviously you have Brogdon still, who is a very capable, starting point guard. And I don't ever want to take anything away from a Mark, because to me, a Marcus Smart is similar to a Draymond Green, in Golden State. I feel like Draymond is the one that really makes them go. And, you know, that's why I feel like he'll continue on. Marcus Smart has been a great piece, defensive player of the year. I feel like he's their heart and soul, but I think that something needs to tweak with that team. If you're going to keep Brown and Tatum, which you definitely should. And Marcus Smart could be back, but I think Marcus Smart is the one player you could possibly get some good pieces for to kind of shake up and bring some new life to that team. What are your thoughts?
He'd have to change the green hair, which would be distressing.
He needs to cut that shit off anyway. But I love him.
He's one of my favorite guys to cover.
What do they need?
He's the kind of guy that you want to see on your team, right? Marcus.
Yeah, I love Marcus Smart. He's one of my favorite players. He flops sometimes a little too much for me, but the dog, the heart, the big shots, the big nuts, he takes big shots and is not afraid to miss them. So I really like Marcus Smart. Boogie, your question, what do they need? I mean, obviously, I think I like what Robert Williams brings to their team. He's the type of center that team needs. It's not going to get a lot of touches. He works with what he gets. I'm thinking possibly a solid power forward. It would have been interesting to see, although older, it would have been interesting to see what Gallinari could have did for their team this year. You know what I mean? Him going down to that ACL, I think threw a little wrench in the plans. But I think a solid power forward who can shoot, run, and rebound. So there's not a ton of those out there. I like, what's his name over in Minnesota? Naz Reid, is that his name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love him. He's brilliant. Yeah. I feel like he's one of these players that can go and really put a team over the top. But, yeah, like I said, again, love Marcus Smart, everything he's done for that team. But I think he's the one piece you can still get quality pieces for. So I think, you put him out there to kind of see what you can get.
All right, let's move on to the Suns. They got a question out there of, is CP3 going to play for that team next year? There's been kind of conflicting reporting. It does seem they are working toward maybe moving him on. There's the DeAndre Ayton news, right, that he was on the block, maybe a little less on the block now that Frank Vogel is there. But how are they going to get the depth and the defense and the pieces they need? I mean, they got to move and change something because we saw they weren't deep enough in the playoffs. They gave up all that stuff for Kevin Durant, which, by the way, I would do too. He's Kevin Durant. But this is the time. You got to make that up. Yeah. So what do you think they should do with Chris and DeAndre?
Well, it's no question. One of them has to go. And it's not that anyone doesn't bring value to that team, because I think they both do. But you got to open up some money so you can add depth to that team and fill in the holes that you do, that you do have to fill in. But you can't keep both of them. Obviously, with Kevin being up in age, it would kind of lean you more towards keeping Aiden because he is younger. He will be more available than a guy of CP's nature. So it just kind of only makes sense to lead towards Aiden. But freeing up, I think it's all about freeing up the money and just trying to fill in the debt. Those are the clear two answers of which one do you go with to make that happen.
Yeah, no, I agree. Unfortunately, Chris will be the odd man out because of his age. But if you think about it, they have their two superstars. They have Aiden, who's on the verge of being something. Mm. He's got so much talent. He can be an all-star if he wants.
Right.
Or he can just blend in if he wants. Yep. I mean, that's how much talent Aiden has.
Right.
And then outside of that, like you said, Boogie, if you can free up some money, you got to go get pieces that fit. Because you have your two go-to guys, and those are two cold boys right there. So, again, I think CP will be the odd man out, but then I also think, we've been seeing across social media, there's going to be a lot of takers for CP.
One of the rumored takers could be the Clippers.
Clippers.
What do you think about that?
I heard Clippers.
Back in?
I heard Clippers. Warriors. I heard Lakers.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of different things. I mean, Chris has made a ton of money. I'm never counting nobody's pockets, but he's made a ton of money. So I think at this point, he would probably strategically fit into a place for lesser money, obviously. So it'll be interesting. I'm sure coming home could be a priority.
His
he lives in LA. And he's been gone the last, handful of years, and his kids are getting older now. So I'm sure that could be a priority. You hear Golden State, what that could be like. So if he doesn't end up in Phoenix, which I don't think it'll happen, I think he's going to end up somewhere he's still happy with.
I don't know. If he goes back to the Clippers, maybe you got to go back to the Clippers.
No, I'm too old for that. But I'll definitely be there
the
cheering.
DJ back here? Yeah, I'll definitely be there cheering.
The band back together.
The Suns only have six guys under contract right now. So they need to, sign people as well.
Yeah, producer Nate letting us know that the Suns have six guys under contract, so that is a thin roster. Mm-hmm. They need to do something. So let's get to the Lakers, right? You've got Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura. You could re-sign both of them, but then you really can't do anything else. Or you can keep one of them. There's still rumors that they're going after Kyrie Irving. What would you do, Matt?
Tough. I would love to see the Kyrie and LeBron reunion, but I just don't know. We were just talking about Phoenix. That would be such a top-heavy team with older stars in LeBron. And, I just don't know if that's the move you make. That youth, the injection of youth in February is what got this team over the hump. Obviously LeBron and AD being healthy and being available was key, but the injection of youth is what really – probably save some jobs over there in that Laker office, so it's, you're hearing people are going to throw the bag at Austin Reeves. And I think that's dope. Hachimura was super, super solid. And I still think has a lot of potential. Mm-hmm. He's his fourth or fifth year. He's still a really young player in this league. So both guys were great. If you sign both those guys, and are you going to be able to fill out an adequate roster with vet men's? I don't really know numbers and shit like that, but I would try to keep both. Who knows if they are going to be able to afford to keep both, but they need youth, plain and simple.
I agree, Matt. It's I don't really know what angle they should take either.
Right, it's like confusing. Do you go all in? Yeah. Are you going to be super top heavy? Are you going to build and give them some help?
Again, they just got spanked by Denver. So that's sort of the standard you got to hold yourself to. Of what team could you build that would compete with Denver in the West?
I mean, obviously, if you decide to keep Rui, you would feel like they would be going after Kyrie. And if they decide to keep Austin, that would kind of cut Kyrie out, right?
Russell's the odd man out if they go after Kyrie.
Well, obviously, we know they're going to have to put some size next to AD to match up with Denver. I could say this. I would hate to be the GM of the Lakers right now. I don't know what – I mean, obviously, LeBron's going to want to, finish out his time there and compete for a championship, so you have to kind of abide by his wishes as well.
It's tough, right?
Yeah, the Lakers are in a very tough situation. Let's just put it like that.
Here's the other wild card with the Kyrie factor is – Kyrie, Anthony Davis, and now LeBron, who used to be an Iron Man, but, we all get older.
Yeah.
None of those guys played more than 65 games last season. So you're getting into a situation, if those are your top three guys, and they all have an injury history at this point, who's going to be on the court from night to night? What are you getting?
I'm getting Naz Reid. I said it earlier for Boston. Team. He's a free agent. Told me he's a free agent. What if you let Rui slide, which, good luck. Go get your money. Sign Austin. Sign Naz Reid. He's a monster. Versatile. Could play the four and the five. Has a nice handle. Could stretch the floor. He's a dog. And then fill around with what else you could fill around with.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see.
Seriously, to me, he's my favorite, and I didn't know he was a free agent. He's one of my favorite, and he doesn't even have to be a superstar. I just know his motor, how he plays. He's a dog. He's going to make any team a lot better. So to be honest, this is not a knock on Kyrie. I just think for the Lakers, I would take a Naz Reid first to go out there and really light a fire. A Bobby Portis type, guys that can really just kind of bring that grit, but also give you numbers, because it's important they get numbers too. They can't just have dogs that are just dogs. You need something to give you numbers too. So yeah, I think, like you said, Boogie, it's not going to be an easy job for whoever's making those decisions over there this year, summer.
And Kyrie's going to get offered a lot of money by Dallas, so we'll have to see how that factors into it too. By the way, if he's looking for, not looking for a new agent,
man, right here, bro. You already know what it is.
We know who to call.
Gotcha.
Blazers, big question marks up in Portland, right? So Damian Lillard, kind of hinting he might be open to a trade. Already talking on another Showtime program about his possible favorite trade destinations. He's like, I could go to Miami, that sort of thing. I don't know this for sure. My opinion is that he will not go ask for a trade. I don't think that that's really the way his relationship with Portland and the Blazers are set up. But I do think he's sort of making it known if that's what they want to do, he's not going to fight them on it. And then the question is, if they did that, they'd obviously be going toward a youth movement. Or they've got the number three pick, which is not on Dame's timeline. So do you keep Dame and do you trade the number three pick to finally get this man more help?
I said this a while ago, and they have to love Dame enough to let him go. To trade him out of respect for everything he's done. I just think it's time. He's been tremendous, but tell me that there's one player in the league that can make Portland a championship team, especially going through the West. Is there one player that third pick can get you? I don't necessarily think so. So I think it's time to let Dame, spread his wings. And the fact that Dame has never talked about the shit, and if he has talked about it, he's always talked about being loyal to the soil. He still is loyal to the soil, but the fact that he's even entertaining other ideas, I think that's all the signs that Portland need to respectfully, you've been amazing. We're going to hang your jersey up here. You're one of our all-time Portland Trailblazers, but we want you to finish your the rest of your years in another spot that can possibly
Let me ask Mr. DeMarcus Cousins, is it your experience that teams do generous, wonderful things, what's best for the player at their own expense? because I do not see any NBA franchise doing that.
But can they trade for him, right? They could make a trade, like make trades,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but who are you getting? You're getting quarters back and a dollar.
A youth movement. And it, to me, I mean, obviously a Sacramento organization is a lot different now, but you can't compare Portland to Sacramento. You know what I mean?
I'm not just saying Sacramento, but you played for a bunch of teams. Matt, you played for a bunch of teams.
Yeah, but I was never a superstar, though. You know, like
when
I said,
did you see the team putting the player's best interest above their own team building for the next 5 years? They trade Damian Lillard. They got to answer to all those Blazers fans.
But what about you can't get picks and all? Like I said, like the time's run out there.
I don't think, obviously, that's not a common thing in the NBA. Where, you know, they look out for the interest of the player. But just knowing the history between Dame and Portland and their long-lasting relationship, I do think they'll, you know, kind of grant his way. And
I hope you'll,
you know what I'm saying, mentioning Miami, knowing they have Hero, knowing they have 3 first-round picks, I think they'll be happy with that. You get Hero, you draft a guy like Scoot Henderson, or, you know, it's a lot of talent in this draft. You got a foundation moving forward. You got Hero, you got Scoot, or whatever the case may be. I think you got something moving forward.
I always ask, though, when you're trading a guy like Dame for picks, it's because you hope one of those picks will turn into, eventually, maybe, a Damian Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
You have Damian Lillard.
Right. But you know you can't do nothing with him, though.
The other thing that's complicated about Dame is he makes $50 million a year.
That's a lot of motherfucking money.
Trading him is also a little bit of a complicated dance because that team has to be able to absorb his salary and for him to actually be in a better situation as opposed to not just be like, again, the lone superstar somewhere where we've seen that's not quite enough.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to have a co-star who will be making a lot of money. I mean, it's just, it's complicated.
It's deep. Yeah, it's deep. I hope it works out, though.
Yeah, no, for sure. And by the way, or it works out with him on the Blazers still. I mean, you want him to find some success. Either way. Sixers. James Harden. How hard are you working to keep him, Boogie?
I think you have to, because what other option do you have? Because if you lose James, then I think you have to start thinking about blowing things up. Because what's gonna replace that production? What's going to match up with MB's timeline, the other core pieces around it? Like, I think you have to. And if not, it's going to be troubling. It's going to be troubling paradise. So, yeah.
So Harden is an unrestricted free agent?
I think does he have a player option for player this option? Year? Is that right? Or he's just out?
He's not out, but. I mean, yeah, I think you go hard on him, but you also got to think, Boogie, is it not time to cut Tyrese Maxey free and really allow him to not let him go, but allow him to like really be the guy? I mean, he proved he can do it in the playoffs. He's done it in the regular season. He's young. I think he's next in line. Obviously, you know, James is a 20-10 guy now and shows you at times he can do more, but do you break the bank for him is the question. How many years do you give him is another question. I've never heard it come out of James' mouth, but everyone's saying there's possibilities in Phoenix or Houston. So where is his heart at? You know, he went to college in Arizona and you know, Houston he's nice on and off the court out there. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, like I said, the years and the amount of money.
Gonna let all of that pass and move on to the next team. Miami Heat, we're just talking about them. Kyle Lowry is set to make $29 million dollars next year. Duncan Robinson, $18 million. So you can keep him, you can trade him. I have to think they're gonna try to move Duncan.
Can you move Kyle? As great as Kyle Lowry was, he's just with all due respect, he'll be 38 next year, making that kind of money. Can it?
He'll be a great veteran in Portland.
to once Dame leaves to mentor the younger guys,
he'll be a great veteran for the young guys supporting him.
You can't play golf in Oregon year round the way you can in Miami. I don't know how Kyle's gonna take
that money. He could build some indoor shit.
Yeah, knowing Kyle, he'll figure it out. He'll figure out his golf routine.
I think, you know, obviously Duncan Robinson, one of the premier shooters, and he just needs time and opportunity. the amount he's making, I'm never going to talk about no one's money, but he did a good job. You know, he went in there with no mask on and got that money from them, you know, so that's great. But I would, you know, I'm sure there's a ton of teams that would that would take him. Yeah. I mean, again, he's one of the best shooters in the game, and he just needed time. You saw he didn't play pretty much at all during the regular season. Then when he was called upon in the playoffs, he stepped up and did what he was supposed to do. But he's not someone that's going to be a 20 to 22 point a game scorer based off the money you give him. But he can definitely be a guy that can change momentum, you know, 12 to 15 points if he has the right opportunities.
Yeah. I mean, there's people who are mentioning Kyrie's name with that team this morning.
Miami?
Yeah.
Ooh.
But those might be Kyrie's agents. I don't know. you mentioned the Warriors, the Draymond question, right? So Draymond has a player option. And when I talked to him after the Warriors season had ended, he said, he's like, we haven't talked about it at all. He's like, at one point, he said a month or two ago, he tried to have a conversation with Rich Paul, like, okay, what do you think we should do? What should we do? And Rich was like, I refuse to speak to you about this while you're still playing. We got plenty of time to talk about it once the season is over. I'm not getting into it. So he's like, I promise you I haven't made any decisions because my own agent won't even talk to me about it. But he's got to decide, does he pick up the player option? Does he opt out and try to do a new deal with the Warriors? Does he put himself out on the market? You're very close to him in that team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything, just like no one else knows anything. But if I'm just thinking Draymond, I mean, obviously you think there was some attractive things outside of the Warriors that sounded cool. You know, Lakers playing with LeBron or them going to Dallas. There's some stuff that sounds cool. But I just think for his legacy, what he's been able to do, what he's meant for that organization, how close he and Steph are, how another year probably under their belt will hopefully mend the relationship, because you're hearing that the Golden State's not actively looking to move Poole. Hopefully they can mend that relationship over the summer. I think Dre opts out and takes less money for more years. So I think he'll do a 3-year for, I don't know what the number, maybe 60 million, you know, 70 million for 3 years, something like that. So obviously that'll be less money per year, but stretch those years out and just see what you have with this, you know, these three core guys until it's time, just to say, okay, it's over.
I agree with Matt. You got to find a way to let these guys ride off on the sunset. They've been the foundation for this organization. They literally took this organization from being about worth $400 million to about $7 billion. These core guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just in that right alone, you should figure out a way to let these guys ride off in the country. They should not have to uplift their families. They should not have to adjust to a new organization. They shouldn't have to find a city that's fitting for them. They should be able to ride off in the sunset in a Golden State uniform until they decide to hang up their sneakers. That's how much value they brought to this franchise.
That's a great point.
A year-by-year contract still doesn't match up to what they turned this entire franchise into. It's literally a global brand because of these guys. So you have to figure it out.
Jeannie Buss did with Kobe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. You have to figure it out. You have to.
And, I mean, yeah, I think, Boog, I mean, we talked about it earlier. I mean, not saying that their way of the game is leaving, but it's also changing. But you got to think, they changed the trajectory of basketball, how basketball has been played the last 10 years. You know what I mean? Absolutely. So you can never put a dollar amount on that for any of those three players. So they've been able to put a good dollar amount on Steph. But as far as Clay and Dre, and it's still not worth, like you said, they went from a $300-400 million team to $6 billion, $7 billion. So you can never pay them what they're worth. But yeah, definitely, I agree. They gotta keep these core until I think it would be dope if they just all three retired at the same time or close to the same time. Like, hey man, it's been cool. Like this, another 3 years, 4 years. mid-30s, we're gonna live the rest of our lives, we got the whole Silicon Valley and investments, like let's fuck around and run the business world now.
I don't know, Steph told me he wants to play as long as his dad did, at least, which was into like I think 38 or something. So
well, Steph's like 35, isn't he?
Is he already 35? Well, yeah, maybe. There you go.
Yeah, right there.
There you go. boom. With that, Clay extension's on the horizon too, so they do have questions. I thought Bob Myers leaving might influence the Draymond thing a little bit because he was Dre's biggest champion. But I was at the final press conference for the Warriors when they got knocked out of the playoffs. Steph made a point of lobbying for Draymond continuing on the team. And you saw that Clay made a point of saying it. So
they know it.
I think management, even if Bob's not in that chair, management knows it's not just a decision about Draymond or his deal. It's about your other two guys and how they're going to react.
And I think that was maybe Bob's last act. Maybe, you know, obviously it's not publicized, but that, you know, let's just make sure we take care of Draymond and obviously Clay's extension coming up. And then, you know, it's been a good run.
Yeah.
Because it has been.
Well, now that we've solved all of the problems of all of the teams around the NBA, which I really appreciate, and I'm sure they appreciate for us, let's get to On the Radar, presented by DraftKings. Look, only sportsbook you need, and the season is done, but DraftKings, because they're on top of things, they already have next season's championship odds out there.
That's crazy.
Not shockingly, as you guys both said, the champions get, you know, first tee, that kind of thing. So they're the favorites, plus 500. Who do you think is next? Give me, don't look at the screen. Give me a guess.
Oh.
Boston.
Nice.
Is it?
Plus 550. Right behind them, right? Bucks at plus 650. Suns after that at plus 850. Lakers at plus 1200. Warriors at plus 1200. Sixers at plus 1300. Mavs at plus 1300, which is a stunning bout of optimism.
Tell us how you really feel.
I'm sorry, but they didn't make the playoffs. I don't think we're talking about them for a title next year unless they make some big changes. Look, who knows who they bring in? I'm reserving judgment, obviously, and I think that team has potential, but let's not put them in a title conversation as constructed at the moment. Do you think the Celtics are the biggest sort of threat to the Nuggets next year, or do you think, I don't know, I think the Suns are a little bit of a dark horse depending on who they get this summer.
I agree with you. The Suns are a dark horse because just along with their two-man guys, you put pretty much anything around it, they're going to be contenders.
Yeah.
So obviously they're a dark horse, but I mean, with Boston and them being a title contender, it all falls on what they decide to do with Jaylen Brown. Yeah. If the odds are that, it's kind of leaning towards Jaylen Brown being in Celtics uniform next year. So if that's the case with the team constructed, I think they got a chance. I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone liked Boston this entire year. I think we underestimated how good Ime Udoka was, though.
Yeah.
100%. This is the one thing I'll say is obviously, and it's so players got to play. And there were times where Tatum struggled, Brown struggled. They struggled together. They're both great. They're both great separately. Joe Mazzulla, it was a learning year for him because I feel like, and I say with all due respect, I think he's going to be a good young coach. Mm-hmm. He was getting taken to school a lot of the playoffs with his decision making and inability to adjust on the fly and all that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, obviously they thought, man, this team is so good. We're going to risk Ime and let him go and we can just hire him and it's going to, and it didn't work like that. So talent wise, I think they got a lot of talent. I would love to see if they can, you know, again, if Marcus Smart happens to be the guy that they may sacrifice to shake things up.
You are out for Marcus Smart.
No, like I said, I like Marcus Smart, but I think something needs to be shook up. And again, a ton of teams would take Marcus Smart, but if he's the one guy that can possibly shake that roster up and bring some fresh blood in there. But yeah, I still like Boston, even if Marcus Smart returns. But I just think, you know, Joe Mazzulla needs to, you know, get studying this summer because I think, again, great potential coach, but he definitely, we saw his hand a lot in the playoffs.
Well, look, I've said this before. I was in Florida when Eric Spoelstra was first starting as a head coach. And he made mistakes.
Everyone's going to.
Now we consider him one of the best tacticians in the game.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think you got to give Joe Mazzulla that room. Mm-hmm. What about Milwaukee, DeMarcus? Where do you put them in this?
Man, for some reason, Milwaukee just kind of became a forgotten team. I mean, obviously, you have, you know, Giannis and building around that as the foundation. But I think this year coming up will be a decision for Giannis with what he wants to do with his future. Mm. And I obviously don't know the timeline of his deal, but I definitely think if they're not a team contending or, you know, in the finals this year, this becomes, you know, where's my next destination.
Can you imagine him leaving? Holy shit.
Well, that's why you never know who's going to become available in the summer. Like, okay, so here are the free agents that we know of this summer, right? You've got James Harden, Kyrie, Porzingis, Chris Middleton. While we're talking Miami, he's got a player option. Draymond, we just talked about, has a player option, right? Brooke Lopez. Who do you think is the most attractive guy, if you were in the market for a free agent, who would you want to go get of that group?
Nas Reed.
Are you getting a cut? I think he's getting a cut.
Yeah, this pre-promo is crazy. But no, I think obviously the only – when I look at that list, it's only one guy that's literally a game changer, and I'm going to say that's Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. And I think Chris Middleton is a great piece to any championship team, but the biggest game changer on that list is Kyrie Irving. So I'm picking him as, you know, the biggest free agent of the summer.
Absolutely, and especially I don't know. Like I said, we're never want to insinuate or trying to figure out what he's thinking. But I just think like he hears the noise and he wants to. And he showed at times last year, like, don't forget who I am as a player.
100%.
You know, I may march to my own drum off the court, but I'm one of the baddest dudes ever to, you know, put the ball in his hand. So I think it just looks like that's on his mind. You see him out working with kids a lot more. In the summer, that's something he probably got from Kobe. Kobe was doing that. So you see him pouring in and spending a lot of time. So I think, you know, the Kyrie that everyone loved, the amazing, incredible basketball player, I think hopefully it looks like that is kind of coming back to one of the top priorities. And if that's the case, like Boogie said, he is a franchise changer.
Mm-hmm. Although I do think for him, Nico Harrison being there and Jason Kidd, Kyrie Irving went to Jason Kidd's Hall of Fame induction on his own because he was just such a big Jason Kidd fan and wanted to go pay some respects and show some love.
That's dope.
Like, that shows the relationship there and the respect that he has for J. Kidd. So to me, Kyrie, when he has these moments where some of his off-the-court stuff threatens to eclipse the on-the-court stuff, I don't think there's a better front office coaching duo for him than the two people who he can really trust.
Yeah.
Who know him and know how to sort of talk to him in a way that they understand each other. It's going to be interesting to see if he stays there.
Does Dallas have any wiggle room to, if they do give him what he wants or what he's looking for, to move or get anybody?
It's really tough. I mean, they're in a tough spot. They have backed themselves into some difficult positions with the Brunson decision, the trade that they made for Kyrie, what they gave up. Like, it's been a tough roster.
Rachel, tell them if they end up signing Kyrie, just to call me about Nas. I'll see if we can get him over
all
there.
All right. The agency over here.
What we could do.
But come back from Puerto Rico soon, please. I know you got a championship to win out there. I know y'all are marching through, getting ready for some serious playoff action. But please come home soon. We miss you.
Absolutely. I plan on it.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank y'all. This wraps up What's Burning for the season, available every week on Showtime Basketball YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We'll be showing some clips and stuff out there, but we'll be back when the NBA is back.
Yeah, man, we're off, huh?
Wow. Yeah. Well, summertime. You know, summer league. But that's different. No one's ever off around here. Right. All right. See y'all.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2.
Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.